with Declan Meehan. East Coast
FM. Morning show at East Coast FM. We're joined on the line by Pete Weatherburn from Bray Vet. And Bray Vet is on Old Connor Avenue in Bray. And Pete Weatherburn is known as Pete the Vet. Pete's going to be talking to us about using inhalers as a way of treating pets with nasal and lung disease. So I've never heard this, but no doubt Pete has. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning, Declan.
Good morning to you. So, you know, facilities and gadgets used for humans can also be applied to pets.
Yeah, it's kind of, you wouldn't really expect this one. It's a bit counterintuitive because you know how, I'm sure everybody knows somebody who's got asthma and they'll know that they carry around little inhaler in their bag sometimes. And that if they, sometimes they take a puff from the inhaler as a way of preventing an episode from developing. Other times they take a puff from an inhaler to actually help settle down an episode of asthma. And, you know, they basically take out this little aerosol thing, they put it to the mouth, they squeeze the end of it, and it goes, pshht, and they inhale in the gas. That's kind of how it works. And you might look at that and say, well, yeah, I get the theory, but the practice, how on earth are you going to get a dog or a cat to put their lips around an inhaler canister and breathe in? Like, first of all, they haven't got lips like that. And secondly, they won't do what you say because they don't understand. Nonetheless, what's actually happened is vets have adapted what they do for babies and for very young children who also won't do what you tell them because they don't understand. And so what we use is these little masks. Basically, the mask has, it's got a, like a, you know these toilet plungers that you use to unblock a drain kind
yes,
of thing?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, it's got a kind of a thing at one end, a bit like that, so it goes around the animal's muzzle altogether and seals it. And then there's a little chamber, a little bit like the middle of a plastic bottle, if you like. And then there's another end with a one-way valve. So you attach the aerosol to one end, you press the button, and the chamber in the middle, like the middle of a plastic bottle, that fills up with a sort of slightly cloudy gas, and then you just put it over the animal's mouth. And they are going to breathe in and out regardless, because animals do that all the time just like we do. So once they've got the thing over their mouth and they breathe in and out naturally, the one-way valve means that the gas gets inhaled into their lungs, and then they breathe out again, and the air goes out through the one-way valve to the outside. Then they breathe in, and they take more of a special gas, and so on. So it's a very simple way of getting certain medications, especially corticosteroids, which have a really strong anti-inflammatory effect. It's a really good way of getting those medications directly onto the lining of the nose and into the lining of the lungs, where the anti-inflammatory action is needed.
Mm. And that sort of operation, is it distressful to an animal?
Well, you have to train them to get used to it. So, for example, you wouldn't just kind of grab a dog and force this thing onto their mouths with brute force. No, that wouldn't work at all. You have to get them used to it. So what you start off by doing is putting little treats, like little chopped frankfurters or something, on the inside of the little mask thing. And so they soon learn that if they put their face into this mask, they get something nice. And so, and once they've had something nice, you can put it on them, and first of all, they associate it with something pleasant. But secondly, they just get used to it. They get used to it sitting on their face and not causing them any pain or distress. So dogs and cats are both very trainable, and once they get used to something, they're far more accepting than you might think they would be.
Okay, how widespread is the use?
It's actually very common. Especially cats get asthma very commonly, and it makes cats cough. You can give them steroids to control it, but those are drugs which go out. If you give them by injection or tablets, they affect the whole body. They have an unwanted effect on the liver and the kidneys, and they make animals eat more and they drink more, and there's all sorts of possible complications. Whereas if you can give the steroids as an anti-inflammatory drug straight into the lungs, then it's not absorbed into the rest of the body, and it means that there aren't side effects. So we use them very commonly in cats because asthma is very common in cats. In dogs, a bit less common, but they do get chronic bronchitis, just like kind of the old man, classic old man cough, or old man smoker gets kind of inflamed lungs, makes them cough. Well, dogs don't smoke, but they do get, as they get older, they get bronchitis. And there's a mask can be a handy way of controlling that. Also, some dogs get a weird kind of rhinitis, which is like inflammation of the lining of the nose, and it just makes them sneeze an awful lot. And again, it's because of an allergic reaction, and that means that steroids, they dampen down the allergy and they take away the itchiness that's making them sneeze. So for these sneezing dogs also, it can be a good option.
Okay, and does it cost much more, or what?
Well, that's one of the slightly unfortunate things. These, the devices, the aerosol devices, are reasonably priced because they're used so widely in the human world. But there are special masks designed for dogs and designed for cats. And you can imagine a dog's face and a cat's face looks quite different in shape to a human face. And that means that they need to have a special kind of mask that fits their face only. And it's quite a small market. So the people who manufacture these products, they're not manufacturing in the same mass way as the human ones would be manufactured. So it means that they are relatively expensive as a one-off part of this treatment. But you just need to buy them once, and then you have them for the whole life of the animal. So in that sense, it's relatively affordable. I've actually written about this in a bit more detail for my weekly Brave People column. I've been writing the Brave People, Declan, now every week for 29 years. And sometimes it's difficult to think of something to write about. But the great thing about veterinary is that there's always interesting stories about different things that happen with pets. And so I just somehow seem to manage every week to find something else to write about. But that's not out till Wednesday, so this is a sneak preview for East Coast FM listeners.
Right. 29 years. And, I mean, what were the fashions back then, Pete?
Well, it was very different. I tell you, there weren't so many little dogs wearing coats. And there was no such thing as doggy daycare, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And the idea of picking up poops, that's, I think, one of my early columns, because it was a kind of a strange Californian idea all those years ago. And the thought of Irish people picking up their dog's poops seemed completely alien. But it just shows you how times have changed.
Indeed. And your fashion, the short trousers, or flares. Was it flares you had then?
I'm afraid.
Frilly shirts, was it?
Flares and cowboy boots. And
you had the shirt open to your waist, did you, with your big medallion?
I was very into line dancing back in the day.
Talk again, Pete. Pete's article is in the forthcoming Brave People on Wednesday. Good to talk to you. Take care.
Thank you, Declan.
Bye-bye. Pete Weatherburn, Pete the Vet. Okay, morning show at East